Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 45%. Up to 45% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
The corner of Broadway and Battery. This is the Damon Bruce Show on 95.7 The Game. Now, Damon Bruce.
Here's what I want. I want a big game from Madison Bumgarner. I want Bruce Bochy walking out somewhere in that seventh inning, getting the ball from Mad Bum. Huge ovation. Let's have one last big hug. Can I get that? Can I get that tonight? Welcome to the Damon Bruce Show. Welcome back to our good friend Darren Smith. He is in all week hanging out with yours truly. And you used to spend quite a bit of time hanging out with Bruce Bochy, and that has got us talking to the Giants skipper a little bit later on today. Bruce Bochy joins Darren and I at 3:30. We've got Adam Kaplan before that at 3 o'clock as we talk a little football with him. But tonight could be the farewell, the swan song of a great San Francisco Giant. Who knows where it goes? Who knows where it should go? I would like to suspend, Darren, if you'll allow me, for one four-hour show. I'd like to suspend baseball logic. I'd like to suspend discussion of what's the right move for the future. Can I just live in tonight? Can I just get one more? Like, I even want to call it AT&T Park. Like, forget about Oracle. I want one last Mad Bum big long kiss goodbye. Can I get that tonight?
I think so. Good luck and good afternoon to you, Damon. You've been an excellent host all week long, and I do appreciate that. Can I add one more thing? Because you just talked a little bit about what you wanted from Bumgarner tonight, if in fact it is his final outing in a Giants uniform. In addition to what you just said, one more little thing.
Yeah.
How about a homer? I mean, he's been known to rake a little bit, right?
Frank,
he's one of the better hitting pitchers. Yeah. So from that regard, as I was thinking about what would be a perfect night tonight as everybody's preparing for this, possibly either here or next week against the Cubs, or if this drags on to the end of the month, I believe he would be pitching in San Diego if we're just doing the math on that. So maybe a homer to boot as well before he sails off into whatever is next, the next chapter of his life.
Like three goals in a fight got you the Gordie Howe hat trick. Yeah. How do we have the perfect, it might be Madison's final game? He needs to pitch well. He absolutely needs to crank one out at the dish. I think he needs to throw at somebody. Yeah. I think Madison Bumgarner needs to give up a home run that really pisses him off.
Right.
Like, that would be a perfect way to just have one last look at the guy.
Some totally avoidable confrontation. There has to be at least that factored in as well. Right?
Yeah. Yeah. Him not liking another player's celebration. That would be perfect. I am looking forward to this conversation with Bruce Bochy. Obviously, you know, where the season goes for the Giants, it's really interesting. They are stuck in between who they might be, who they really are, and what they want to be tomorrow. And it's Farhan Zaidi's deal to make the adult call on this. But tonight, just for a moment, just look, a great game out of him tonight is a win-win. It really is. It really, really is. So if he shoves against the Mets, there are an awful lot of eyeballs on this back from the East Coast. Buzz is a real thing in sports. Having Mad Bum be the unquestioned biggest prize of the trading market, if that is out there, that doesn't hurt the ability to move him. If he pitches well, his market grows. As will the Giants' hopes that maybe there's something still a little brewing in a wild card conversation. That's a win-win. That's the ultimate win-win.
Yeah, I mean, listen, this is the best way I could say it since I'm here for a limited amount of days, Damon. This is a game that I fully intend on going to, finding tickets somehow, some way. If anybody's holding, please get in touch with us via the text line, however you want to do it. But this is a game that I've been pretty excited about since I got here on Monday. Like, I want to go as a fan. I want to go as a fan, sit in the seats and watch this, because you don't know that this will or won't be the last time for this guy, what he's meant for this. And I'll remember that. Like, I'll remember that even though I wasn't here through the years in 2010, obviously, 2012, 2014. I'll remember that if, in fact, this is it for this great pitcher and this great organization.
Is it true that you and your super producer, Marty Caswell, made a bet with Bruce Bochy about the 2010 World Series, a Marlin expedition, and you're coming to maybe claim this bet 9 years after the fact?
Yeah, I don't know that it was a wager. It was sort of, hey, Boch, if you end up winning the World Series this year, you know, we would love to go fishing with you at some point, since we've talked all throughout the years. For those that might be hearing me for the first time, I've been on radio in San Diego for the last 15. But it would be great if you ever want to take us out on one of those ships going fishing for Marlins. We would love to do it. Maybe Cabo, if you're free.
Sure.
And he said, yeah, of course, I'd do that. We haven't done that, but you never know. He might have a little bit of free time on his hand.
I don't know if this is going to be it for him in the Giants dugout or in any dugout. I think that he doesn't need to make that decision right away. Like, if it were up to me to advise Bruce Bochy what he should do is walk away for a full year. He should walk away for a full year. This guy deserves to get away from a game that he has been immersed in from his playing days right through his managerial come up, right through the top of the mountain that is three World Series in 5 years with the Giants. He's got to have a little baseball fatigue. I don't care how much you love the game. He's got to be looking forward to just a little bit of a break, right?
Well, I would think so, especially since I don't think he's ever had a time away. When's the last time that he took a season off?
I can't think of one.
I wonder if he can even give us the year. What was the last year that Bruce Bochy took off? Like, when's the last time that he had that freedom and he had that free time to go out there and do that Marlin fishing or go look for the yellowfin or whatever it is that he's hunting down these days? When's the last time he even did that? And he went from playing in the coaching into managing into position coaching in the big leagues and then into managing and from one managerial gig to another. See, a lot of guys now in all these sports, Damon, as we all know, it's become a bit of a strategy for them to take a year off and go on television. Right, Joe Girardi was on the station a little bit earlier today. Joe Girardi is doing this very thing. Dusty Baker did this very thing. Like, you get on television, so you're never really out of sight.
Right,
you're never out of sight, out of mind. But you don't have to get on a minor league bus, things of that nature. And that's I wonder what that future looks like for Boch. But that's the new age approach. The old school one was you had to get right back into it, get right back into the grind, figure out a way to somehow be back in uniform in some capacity.
When is the last time Bruce Bochy didn't report to spring training?
Right.
And does he plan on not reporting to spring training next year?
Decades.
I really hope that he does. I hope that he steps away for a little while. And then who knows what the future holds? You know, when it comes to managing a baseball team, never is a really long time. It really is. And this guy's still, you know, razor sharp. And if he wants to come back, there's going to be an opportunity waiting for him. I mean, how many times have we seen, you know, like, God, who was it with the Marlins? Jack McKeon come back. I mean, we
won a World Series.
Yeah, like 100 years old, back in the dugout.
Right. Yeah. So, I mean, I think also though, you know, you do wonder, and I can't imagine that Bruce Bochy's services wouldn't be interesting to somebody out there. But it wasn't that long ago I read something about Mike Scioscia, who won a World Series with the Angels, who said, "I would love to manage again, but there's one problem: phone's not ringing." So sometimes we wonder: is the game changing so much that these managers like Scioscia, like Bochy, are we starting to wonder, are they being phased out of this game? Or is there still a place for them? I can't imagine that there's not a place for this guy. But I'm curious just the way the game is going with all the new general managers, if in fact there is a landing spot somewhere for him.
The game is changing for sure. Does Bruce Bochy change with it? Boy, it'd be interesting to see how Farhan thinks the whole... What does he think of an old school manager and the way that he fills out a lineup card with the players that he's given him in his clubhouse each and every day? I wonder if we'll ever really know what their relationship is like here in Farhan's first season and what we all know to be Bruce Bochy's last. We're going to talk to Boch at 3:30, and if you miss any of that, I'm sure we'll jog it past you again in the 5 o'clock hour. We'll keep it on baseball with Brian Kenny, who's going to join us in our 4 o'clock hour today. Sean Salisbury going to stop on by, talking some quarterback play, one of our good NFL guests in Sean. Looking forward to that. Adam Kaplan also today in less than an hour from now on the coming NFL season. Saw today that Chris Paul's market might have completely dried up. I guess the key word for that is yet, because it's only going to take one injury on a team to a point guard that thinks that they might be contending to turn around and start reevaluating what they think of Chris Paul. But if he were to finish out in Oklahoma City, someone's like, oh man, that would be really sad. Would it? Would it? Or would it be almost kind of perfect? 888-957-9570. The NBA in California is really something to take a look at. A Tour de France update as promised here on the show. We will get back to that today. And man, we are losing some real important postseason performers over the last couple of months, if indeed this is Madison Bumgarner's final game in a home Giants uniform. 888-957-9570. If this is good night to Mad Bum, what has he meant to you as a Giants fan, as a baseball fan? Look, I was in Kauffman Stadium, Game 7, the night that he came, took the ball, and turned into pitching Jesus right in front of my eyes. I still can't believe that he finished that game, that he just took it the whole way. Boch, I got it. It's still one of the more amazing feats I've ever seen in a baseball stadium. This guy is a historically significant Giant, if not a Hall of Famer, which he's not a Hall of Famer, but he's a historically significant Giant. And what he has meant around here is an awful lot. Love to hear what he's meant to you. If this indeed is it for Mad Bum, how will you remember? 888-957-9570 is the number. Really looking forward to having you on today. To let you know about the entire lineup, we turn to Elena and say hello for the first time this afternoon. Hello, Elena.
Now, back to the Damon Bruce Show on 95.7 The Game.
The thing about Madison Bumgarner is he's unemotional. There's not going to be a lot that distracts him. Remember last year, the Johnny Cueto dropping the ball, and the Pirates fans were all over Johnny Cueto. Not sure that's going to bother Madison Bumgarner.
John Kruk, long time ago, talking about Madison Bumgarner being unemotional. I don't know if that's the right way to say it, because the emotion we see from him is usually angry. He pitches with a chip on his shoulder, is a reason why I've always liked him. I mean, really, baseball is losing an element of I'm angry to be here, and I kind of like that he brought that to the table. Sometimes he gets lost in it, but that's who he is, and like he has said, can I be who I am? If guys want to pimp their home runs, and that's who they want to be, can I be the guy who doesn't like it at all? With Darren Smith here on the Damon Bruce Show, it's good to have you. It might be Madison Bumgarner's final start in a Giants uniform, and if that's the way it goes down tonight, I just kind of want to enjoy it. I would like the moment to wash over me in the vacuum of the moment. I don't really want to think about what he means to the trade deadline going forwards or backwards. This is a wildly significant athlete, not only in the history of the Giants, but in the history of me covering sports here in the Bay. I mean, Bumgarner is as big of a name that has ever come out of my mouth in terms of postseason performers and guys who have captured the imagination of this entire market.
You know, and to do it when the lights are brightest, too. I mean, that's where you are when you're on that big stage, when everybody knows, when that bullpen door opened up, as you were talking about in game number 7, on a couple of days rest, and then all the stories that followed, because then everybody had to know, well, what was the backstory there? When did Bumgarner first go to Bochy and say, hey, if you want to win, you know where to go? In game number 7, right? Like, that was the legend. And the legend for me started in 2010, but you and I were having a conversation about players in any sport who you love when they're on your team and you don't like when they're on the other team.
Right.
I think he's that guy. I mean, I do. I think he's one of those guys, and not just like Dodger fans who would feel that way because of the Puig stuff or more recently the Muncy stuff.
Right.
I mean, I could tell you a story. I remember a time at Petco Park where, and we laughed about this for days on radio in San Diego, where he struck out Will Myers. Will Myers, who's an outfielder with the Padres. And he struck out Myers. And Bumgarner, I don't think, was staring Myers down on his way back to the Padre dugout. Bumgarner was going his direction. Myers seemed to be going his direction. And for whatever reason, Bumgarner thought that Myers was giving him the side eye. And Bumgarner stopped dead in his tracks, and he looked at Myers and just puffed his chest out a little bit and said, "What? What are you looking at?
Run your bases.
What are you looking at?
Back to the dugout."
Yeah, and you know, who knows what was actually said. I mean, we spent a couple of days on that because Will Myers, I will tell you, Will Myers, and I said this on radio in San Diego, so I'm not saying anything I wouldn't have said there or didn't say there. He looked timid. He looked intimidated in that moment. And that's what we were like, timid Will Myers just got punked on his own field by Madison Bumgarner. But I'm telling you, he was like, he put his hands up, that whole like, "Oh, excuse me. No. I wasn't looking at you, Mr. Bumgarner. I swear, I'm just trying to go back to the dugout. Please don't come across this white line and strangle me. Please, I just want to go and get my glove and go take first base, please leave me alone." And like, we for days are like, "Gosh, I understand you might get your ass kicked in that situation, but still, dude, come on now." Like,
right, can't look afraid.
You didn't do anything wrong in that situation. You can't let him just punk you like that on the field. But man, that was we laughed about that for days down in Southern California.
Boy, it's not a segment you want to be part of if you're Will Myers, but it does happen. I like that. Yeah. This guy was an intimidating presence of the first degree on a mound where you don't have that many physically intimidating pitchers. Like, like Tim Lincecum has, you know, put up more Cy Youngs than Madison Bumgarner can count. You know, seriously, at half the weight and one half of the size. Madison Bumgarner brought an element of country big to the mound that very few guys get to bring out there. And, like, there is something that is a little bit more intimidating than whatever the numbers are. Again, we said this yesterday. Not a single player ever sees beyond Madison Bumgarner to the scoreboard to read his current ERA or his pitch count. All they see is Madison Bumgarner. Mm-hmm. And that's enough to stop a lot of guys mentally in their tracks.
Yeah. I mean, and just big game, big moments, everything, the total package, the way his career started, contributions in 2000. I mean, I think what happened a little later when he came out and finished it off against Kansas City, I mean, the 2010 postseason was just ridiculous, where he announced his presence, where he just, who is this? What's he doing? In what capacity? Wow. Like, that's, right. You know, and I also like some of the backstory with him as well. You know, some of the quirky stuff about him and his upbringing, because it's not something that I have any experience with. You know, I've lived in California for 16 years. Before that, I'm on the East Coast. I didn't grow up on a farm. I didn't grow up doing those things to bulls. I didn't grow up with any of that knowledge as to what was, you know, so for him to be that guy,
right,
this city, make it somehow a match, like, it's just not a partnership that you ever would have thought would have become this love affair that it is.
There might have been a lot of Smiths in the town that you grew up in, but you weren't related to all of them.
Yeah,
like,
right.
He is. Like, Bumgarner County, basically, is where he's from. The guy has been a huge part of this run, and I just want to ask you straight up, 888-957-9570. Giants fans, is Madison Bumgarner the most important Giant of the Bruce Bochy era? Who would you put above him? An everyday player like Posey? I could see that. Look, Lincecum won Cy Youngs. Matt Cain was like the spirit animal of this pitching staff for quite a while. But man, Madison Bumgarner, huge. Huge, huge, huge part of all of this success. 888-957-9570. This is George calling from the jungle. What's going on, George?
Gentlemen, thank you for taking my call. You know, the way I see Madison Bumgarner, he's not going to carry you through to the playoffs. But once you get there, he's money. You're going to get it done. And what I would love to see more than anything else is the way that David Price handles his free agency or his movement from Boston to the A's as a rental, picked up a couple of prospects for Boston, and then went back and signed with his home team, the Red Sox. I would love to see Madison do that.
It would be interesting. I wonder if Madison still looks at the Giants where they are in their competitive life cycle, even though we're you know, the notion of their competing is being sold to you right now, whether or not that's real or a notion is something I think every show has been debating for about 48 hours.
or 2 weeks.
Yeah.
It's
all
about a 14.
Yeah, yeah. What is this guy really worth? And is he worth keeping around if he's not going to bring back an unquestioned prospect from an organization? Like, that's who Madison Bumgarner is. He's one of those guys that if you decided to sign him long-term, it'd be hard for a single fan to be that angry at it, even though it might not be the best long-term plan. Look, there are reasons why some teams are more popular in areas than others, and player retention is a huge part of that reason, huge part of it. And the Giants still enjoy, you know, the team that is on the mantle status in this market, even though the other team in the market is significantly built to be more of a contender right now, the Giants have captured the imagination of this market and basically haven't allowed imagination to run to anybody else. I mean, they have done a better job retaining fans through just household names. Household names everywhere you look. And it's part of the problem, but it's part of the success as well.
Right. That is the flip side of the coin, isn't it? That some of those guys who you look at, who you see under contract, and then when you actually dig up those contract details, right, you go, oof, man, that was a hell of a commitment there.
I don't mean to cut you off, but when our last caller said something, it kind of stuck out of me, and Albie just in my ear said, David Price never left Boston and came back. Yeah, that didn't happen.
I don't think so. I thought the example that we used the other day was Aroldis Chapman.
Yes.
When Chapman was with the Yankees, gets traded to the Cubs, they pick up a couple of really, really good players, and then they figure out a way to go back and sign him afterwards. I thought that was, I mean, that's the one at least for me. Maybe there are others out there, but I didn't think that sounded right. I didn't remember that one either.
Text line says, when are people going to start calling Madison Bumgarner a thug? I don't know if that applies to him, but Bumgarner's red rear end nature has absolutely been criticized in a number of outlets, local included. I mean, Madison Bumgarner is not above criticism. And as we are demanding baseball become more of an expressive, emotive, happy, celebratory sport, he ain't a fan of that at all.
Yes.
I mean, that's just who he is. He does not like that at all. And I kind of like that about him. I think.
Does he not like it, or does he not like it if he's on the receiving end of it?
Both.
Right? Yeah,
I mean, it's got to be both. But I guarantee you that he would feel that way for a guy getting, you know, a guy pimping his home run used to be the cardinal unwritten rule. You know, really, like, not betting on baseball was almost as big as do not pimp your own home run. I like the fact that it upsets him. Now, should he be retaliating? Should he be hitting guys in ear holes? The answer is no. And he's really never done that. I mean, here's the one thing about Madison. When he wants to retaliate, like, he's inviting a physical altercation more than he is like a baseball altercation.
Yeah, exactly. And hey, I'm standing here. I'm 60 feet away. He's got a lot in common with the other guy who's going tonight for the Mets and Syndergaard. Remember when Syndergaard was in the World Series and there was a little dust up between the Mets and the Royals, and he says, well, they know where to find me. I'm 60 feet, 60 inches away. I'm
right,
not going to
spicy.
Hide. He's one of those tough Texan types, and that's the same cloth that you cut a Madison Bumgarner from, where he's like, I'm right here. As I said, the one example I gave a little bit earlier, I'm right here, Will Myers, if you want to come out. I'm right here, Yasiel Puig. I'm right here, Max Muncy. I've been standing here for a decade. Has he been charged?
No. No one has ever come at Madison with bad intent.
Gee, why do you think that is?
Yeah. 6'3",
yeah.
6'4", 6'5", looks like he could throw a real punch.
Yeah. Yeah. Definitely, take your chances.
Definitely fought a lot in his childhood in Georgia.
Right.
Like, probably not because people were making fun of him. That's what they did for entertainment on a Wednesday.
Right. Yeah, I mean, good luck to you. I mean, he's been right out there with this attitude for about a decade.
Bumgarner Puig got spicy.
Yeah.
Bumgarner Muncy looked spicier than it really was. Really, the spiciness there was Max Muncy officially dunked on Bumgarner verbally better than anyone else has, saying, you know, go get it out of the ocean, which was a phenomenal comeback. It really was. Can't slight him for that either. But I'm not slighting Mad Bum for being upset. Somebody on the text line says, you know, he'll never be bigger in the Bay or nationally than Curry, Clay, Draymond, or even Kevin Durant in his short stay. I don't know if that's true all the way around, but if you went back to 2014, the sentence would have been, you know, I doubt Steph Curry, Klay Thompson, Draymond Green is ever bigger than Madison Bumgarner. Remember, Madison Bumgarner's zenith is behind him. Don't forget where he was. like Curry, like Clay, like Kevin Durant, even in his short stay, all achieved God status, and Madison sat on top of that mountain by himself. I mean, really, the Warriors have always been seen as a collective of an incredible individual talent, but Madison did more all by himself in 2014 to frame who he is and meant. Do not forget where we were. We're 5 years removed from his mountaintop. His mountaintop was Mount Everest. It really was.
Well, it surprises me, again, and I have to defer here in this situation, clearly, but I would have guessed, if I was just guessing as an outsider, I would have guessed that Curry, Clay, Draymond, okay, you want to make that argument for sure, but I always felt, Damon, like there was something about players who are homegrown in any sport. Now, this is unique mostly to baseball because you draft them and then they disappear. And anybody who follows the minor leagues follows them through San Jose or Sacramento or you know, Fresno over the years. So you get a sense of what that's all about. And there's an anticipation that a player is going to arrive. And there's a sense of ownership, especially for a guy like Bumgarner who gets drafted when he does, who's a teenager who grows up in your organization. And something similar would occur with basketball. Those are a million trades. I would say, okay, I could understand that argument, and it wouldn't surprise me to hear that somebody would say a Curry or a Draymond or a Clay. It would surprise me that somebody would say KD in that situation because he wasn't yours. Because right. He was yours for a handful of years, and he did amazing things, and whether they should or shouldn't put the jersey number up in the rafters has, I'm sure, been discussed at great length. But I'm a bit surprised. Even if you think he's below those players, he's in that neighborhood. And he's in the zip code. He's not in a totally different universe.
Totally. This morning with Albie, one of the things that we were talking about planning for today's show is you know, in terms of postseason performances, if it were all a table in Bay Area, who gets to sit at the table of postseason performances? Forget about how long Kevin Durant was here. It's maybe because of that a very awkward seat at the table. But Kevin Durant's at the table. Kevin Durant's at the table. You got two prime years of one of the greatest offensive players ever. You got the peak of Kevin Durant. Kevin Durant will probably never be any better than the 2 years that you got. And had he not been hurt, that feels like a third NBA championship for sure. Also at that table. I mean, in terms of postseason performers, Madison Bumgarner is on the list. Tim Lincecum is on the list. I would put Pablo Sandoval on the list before I said, all right, yeah, it's Posey, it's Crawford. Crawford did have the huge grand slam in Pittsburgh. That was big in the playoff game. He hits that grand slam and all of a sudden, oh, the Giants are going to go to the World Series again. How the hell did that happen? It's interesting. I mean, Cody Ross, Marco Scudero had some bigger postseason moments than homegrown household names. But homegrown in baseball does mean an awful lot.
Doesn't it? I mean, again, that's probably just my own unique view, but it's been my experience in 20 years in this industry that does matter a little bit. Whether it should or shouldn't, that's up to each individual out there. But it's always been my sense that people feel a certain sense of ownership, especially when you acquire a guy at such a young age and you literally watch him become a man right there before your eyes in your city.
Somebody says, look, this is a ridiculous conversation because baseball is always regional while basketball isn't national. It's now international. So, of course, Curry, Clay, Durant, all because we got the recency bias of just having seen the best of them come to an end not even a month ago, and it feels like the best of Madison Bumgarner is, you know, again, 2014. He'll never be better than that one night in 2014. But, God, he was huge. He is a huge, 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 huge part of this. And it is – if this is it tonight, if this is really it tonight, it's one of the all-timers stepping off the mound for the very last time. He is among the greatest Giants pitchers of all time, and it's a pretty impressive list of Giants pitchers. I mean, you want to go to the Wayback Machine for, you know, Gaylord Perry, Juan Marichal, you want that, you can go that way. You want to go Lincecum, Kane, you want Mad Bum in there, you got that. These are unbelievable. An unbelievable chapter could come to an end if this is indeed it tonight. So
And if it's not, well, this is your show again on Tuesday.
You might be right about
against that. Against the
Cubs. Now, when is the deadline? That's a thing.
Deadline is the 31st. So there's a potential for three more starts between now and the deadline. There's tonight's start. And if we're going on regular rest, which I presume we are, it would be Tuesday with the Cubs. And then the final one potentially before the deadline would be in San Diego.
888-957-9570 is the number. We've got much more baseball coming up in about an hour from now. Bruce Bochy, Giants manager, will be joining us. We'll get it to football when Sean Salisbury joins us at 4 o'clock. Actually, Adam Kaplan joins us at 3 o'clock, and we're going to be talking a little NFL offseason with him. Feels like this is the right place to slip in just a little bit of basketball, because the news today, Darren, was that Chris Paul might ride out the wave in Oklahoma City after all, because they can't find a right way to make Miami a dance partner. And apparently Miami is the only partner interested in dancing around Chris Paul. Chris Paul has no market. I guess the key word there is yet, right? Because situations change. Any team that fancies itself a contender is one blown point guard Achilles away from being interested in Chris Paul tomorrow if they're not today. So things do change.
But if you're a contender, I'm going to guess you're probably spending a decent amount of money. I wonder what contenders can take that type of salary,
yeah,
which is what's described as maybe the worst contract. It's splitting hairs between the Chris Paul contract. Some would tell you the Russell Westbrook contract. So who can absorb that if, in fact, one of their key pieces for one of these contending teams goes down? I don't have all the cap numbers in front of me, but I would be willing to bet that the list is kind of short. So he might be stuck there talking for the next couple of years in Oklahoma City about what the future holds and all the different first round draft picks that they acquired, which would be amazing.
Miami apparently wants a lot of draft picks back for, you know, being the team that takes Chris Paul's salary off your hands. They want a bevy of the Clipper picks that were just agreed to, of the Houston picks that were just agreed to. That's what Miami's looking for. They're looking for Chris Paul and picks if they're going to absorb his salary. And apparently the ask is so big, Sam Presti is saying, no, we're not going to do that. That's, you know, we made this move to have this many future options. So Chris Paul might have to die on the vine in Oklahoma City. And I saw it framed today that if that indeed is really it, if this is how it ends for Chris Paul, it's going to be sad. And I thought to myself, is it sad or is it kind of perfect? Is it sad or is it kind of perfect? I think it would be kind of perfect, because let me paraphrase Draymond Green just a little bit, talking to Paul Pierce sitting on the bench that one night. Ain't no one love you. Like, you don't get a retirement tour. Chris Paul doesn't get a retirement tour. He might be the subject of an awful lot of internet respect. But do we really need a Chris Paul? Who's going to show up to say goodbye romantically to Chris Paul? Who's he ever done enough for to endear himself as a player to have a romantic moment with? Like, if Chris Paul wasted away in Oklahoma City, feels kind of apropos for a guy who was defined by his legitimate, measurable greatness and a legitimate inability to get his team deep into any playoffs. I mean, there is a huge yin and yang of Chris Paul, and he is both things. He is both remarkable and self-destructive.
Yeah, I'm not going to spend a single second feeling sorry for him or feeling sad for Chris Paul. And I understand that the money in sports should just be viewed through a totally different prism, but he's the one that went and signed a 4-year, $160 million deal. He's the one that, according to almost every report that you heard, could not figure out a way to get along with James Harden and wanted out of Houston. So if you wanted out of Houston, guess what? You know, where did you want to go? If you wanted out of Houston and this was the best that they could do for you, then this is what you get. So from that standpoint, I understand what you're saying. You'd like to see players of this caliber. He's still a really good player. He's still going to be a Hall of Fame player. As a fan of sports, you would like to see a guy like this on a contending team. But, you know, all the other circumstances surrounding him, that's the contract he signed. That's the team that he couldn't figure out a way to fit into. He wanted out, so he got out. And now this is where he gets to play for the next couple of years, since nobody seems interested. That's amazing, too, on Miami. It's not enough just to pick up that contract. You also got to sweeten the pot and throw in some draft picks.
before the game of basketball changed in front of our eyes, too, he was always attached to me the position with the most responsibility.
Yep.
Like, you're the point guard. So if it can't work and flow through you in this situation, you say, I got to remove myself from this situation to find a better situation. All right, so that happened once, and then it had to happen again, and now it needs to happen again. Like, at some point, it's you, Chris. It's not the situation you're in. It must be you, because every sweet situation you work your way into sours eventually, and it usually happens ahead of what would be the normal pace of a good situation souring.
And he's had really, really good positive PR around in the State Farm commercials, right? Like the whole Chris Cliff Paul thing. But you watch him out there. You've seen enough games to know. I mean, that dude out, he's a dirty player at times.
Yeah,
I mean,
he's a pest.
He is a pest. He will put somebody right in the crosshairs. He's been thrown out of playoff games when his team was losing and on the verge of elimination. So, you know, there's a lot more layers to Chris Paul. I mean, I think he'll be okay in life playing out the string in Oklahoma City.
Look, whether he was here long enough to suit your definition, great postseason performance is a great way to describe Kevin Durant, and I don't know how you could take that away from him, even if you wanted to. The Bay Area could be losing two of the great postseason performers in just 1 month. Kevin Durant, that ship has sailed. Madison Bumgarner might be making his final start tonight at Oracle Park. And just for old time's sake, let's go all the way back. Let's call it Pac Bell. Oh, no, it was AT&T when he got there. So, yeah, AT&T just for one more time. Whoever thought I could get romantic about a corporate name of a communications company, but that's the way it goes sometimes. 888-957-9570. If I can get nostalgic about that, I can definitely get nostalgic about the possibility of this being it for Bumgarner. Let's find you those tickets when it's all said and done. And we have requests from the text line for you to please review House of Prime Rib after your maiden voyage to the hopper. So we'll come back with that, courtesy of Fremont Bank. Full service banking, no compromises, here on the Damon Bruce Show, along with my pal Darren Smith this week. Yeah, baby.
Now, back to the Damon Bruce Show on 95.7 The Game.
Giants manager Bruce Bochy is going to join us live at 3:30. We're looking forward to that. Adam Kaplan comes up talking NBA at 3 o'clock. That's 12 minutes from right now. Darren Smith in studio with yours truly all week long here on 95.7 The Game. Want to bring it back to the NBA just a little bit here, Darren, because not to rip on Chris Paul, who he is, where he deserves to have his career end. Want to talk about MVP betting odds. Next year, even though Kevin Durant has walked out the door, Steph Curry has climbed the ladder of MVP consideration according to NBA MVP betting odds. Odds makers like Curry's chances at regaining MVP form now that the scoring load falls on his shoulders more than it has in the last few years. Giannis, hard to sleep on Giannis. He is the odds-on favorite at plus 300. And then there's Steph Curry sitting there plus 500 in his lonesome all by himself, followed by James Harden at plus 700, Kawhi is plus 800, LeBron plus 900, Anthony Davis plus 1,000, Embiid. Well, once we get over 1,000, it's Embiid. Luka coming in at plus 1,600. Russell Westbrook, by the way, plus 2,500. Jeez. Look at that, Steph Curry. Now, this is something that I have been yelled at about. This is something that Ray Ratto and Matt Kolsky have been like, no, dude, you're crazy. You don't want that. If you told me that next year is just Steph Curry choosing between, I got to pick my moments of rest here, and I am going to be load managed in some moments. But when he's out there, I want a Harden-like usage rate. I want him to go nuts. I want Steph Curry to try to go for 35 a night. Not because he's going up for the selfish Carmelo 35, because I don't know how the Warriors win without it. Like, Steph Curry shooting in a well-defended situation is usually a better shot than most guys shooting in an open situation. That's who he is. And I want to see him turn into that unstoppable force again. I really do. I think this is going to be fun all over again. Give me Curry going bonkers.
So you want that then as an approach. See, this is funny because this came up when we were in Vegas. We were at the sports book and we were looking at some of the futures. We were looking at win totals, over unders, things of that nature. And the conversation came up when I was out there for Summer League about whether you would bet on Curry to win the MVP. Because there's a couple of different schools of thoughts here. Like, number one, I agree. If this is what they decided they wanted to do, there's no doubt. He's won two MVP awards, he's won one unanimously. Like, there's no doubt you can win an MVP. I guess my question would be, why would you want him to? Like, what's the thought process behind that of wanting to see him jack it up, go for 35 a game? Is it to get him another MVP so that he can increase his...
I think it's the best way to get a win this year, maybe.
So you think it's out of necessity?
Unless Jordan Poole shows us something that no one's expecting right now. Unless Alan Smilagic is going to show up and shock the world. Unless, if D'Angelo Russell is all that in a bag of chips, and we don't have to go to the extreme of, hey, we need Steph Curry. Instead of a plus Curry, we need Steph Curry plus plus, and sometimes we need him Steph Curry plus plus plus. I'll take a just Steph Curry if we got other things cooking in a way that we don't need him to go bonkers, but I'm going to tell you, Steph Curry going bonkers might be the best watch in basketball. Like, there's a selfish part of me that's just like, all right, shoot it from the parking lot.
I used to like the warm-up. I used to love just watching the warm-up when, you know, that season where Steph was on his way to winning a couple of MVPs, where they would turn on the cameras a little bit early on NBA TV and he'd be out there warming up. And I know this is a much bigger deal here in the Bay Area than it is outside of the Bay Area, but I used to tune in for it all the time. Oh, NBA TV is going to show what Curry's doing from half court.
The dribble drills.
They're going to show him shooting from the tunnel. Like, yeah, give me more of that, because that was fascinating to watch as well. But again, I think for me, you know, where I would shake out on this, and this was my counter to the conversation that I was having sitting in a sports book in Vegas, was he's got championship seasons left to him, right?
Yes.
There are championship years left in Curry, and whether this upcoming one is or isn't one, we'll see. I think most people would say probably not. But that's for the reasons that you've been discussing for months now with Clay and the departure of KD and some of the hard cap decisions that they've had to make. So, I mean, I don't think it's as easy as a decision. Well, what do we want Curry to do? Do we want him to pursue a third MVP type season, or do we want to save him for a season where we have a legitimate or a more likely championship run to us? I mean, that's the challenge of the bet, is like, you just don't know. He doesn't want the load management stuff coming into play. How much of a factor is what he wants versus what the organization thinks is the best approach for this upcoming season, given that they know they have to make another run at some point? But the flip, again, it's a new building, so you want him to go out and put on a show every night because people are paying a fortune for those seats. It's like, there's a lot that goes into it. Like, this is a lively discussion that's happening not only here, but it's happening in the sports books in Vegas.
In neither of his MVP seasons did it ever feel like he was out there chasing numbers and personal accolades. And if he were just going bonkers this year, I don't think it wouldn't look like he's chasing anything. I just think this might be the best way for them to go about being hard to beat on a nightly basis. You know, 35 from Curry is just pencil it in. That's going to happen. Woo. That's a nice little point total to start with out of your backcourt, which is a question mark this year for the first time in forever due to the circumstances that the season will start under. So,
yeah, but I just strictly from a wagering standpoint where he's plus 500, I don't know. I'd love to know what they're thinking about this. They're not trying to get the guy an MVP.
No.
But do you play him the type of minutes that could produce an MVP? Do you play him the amount of games that could produce him an MVP? Or do you say, okay, listen, this is a reinvention year. We all understand that. We know we have another title run or two left in this guy at 30, 31 years of age. Do we really want to push him out there? We'll have to hide him on defense in some capacity. I'd love to know what's going on behind closed doors, what they're thinking about, what the approach will be for him.
He is now the longest tenured player in the NBA with one team, with Russell Westbrook moving on from the Oklahoma City Thunder. Who'd have ever thought little Steph Curry will be the NBA's grandpa in terms of team movement? He's such a special guy, special player.
First name Stephen, last name Curry. He came into my life, now everything is less blurry.
Let me tell you, he's a special husband, too. Did you see him run to the defense of Aisha, who apparently is it called the Millie? The Miley? Well, help me out here, Elena. What's the dance move that Aisha was thrown to the Millie Wop? Thank you very much. I couldn't pull it off very well. I'll be straight up honest, I don't think my wife would pull it off very well either. The internet says that Aisha didn't pull it off very well, but the internet's full of jackasses. Every single, it really is. Here is Steph talking about the criticism that his wife got for doing a little dance where, of course, everybody's got to have a harsh opinion about it. And Steph decided to dunk on every harsh opinion that says, hey, this dance move comes with a little something else you might want to consider in terms of greatness.
Slow news day today, I see, huh? Just make sure y'all send me the video of you dancing at your own restaurant opening.
You go keep Millie rocking until that happens. You know what I'm saying?
I like that. So go ahead, send me a video of not just you dancing better, but dancing at your own restaurant opening. That's a dunk. That's Steph Curry just dunked right there.
Speaking of, I thought you were going to dance last night when the Meat Zeppelin showed up.
Oh, dude, the Meat Zeppelin. I do love a Meat Zeppelin. Isn't it a beautiful, glorious thing?
Oh, my goodness.
God. All right, so at what time did the meat sweats stop in your hotel room last night?
Buddy, I'm sitting 3 feet away from you.
They're still going
on. You can still see that I am sweating, can you not? They are still ongoing. And I walked home. I walked back to my hotel in Union, just outside of Union Square. Figured, okay, I'll burn off a couple of calories. No chance on that. I got into my bed, and I could just feel the gravitational pull of the prime rib in my stomach pulling me down through the mattress down to the floor.
You're welcome.
Yeah, it was amazing.
Yeah.
Absolutely amazing.
Yeah, when you're known as the House of Prime Rib, you better do that one thing very, very well, and God, they do. And let me just tell, if you are, I got to go full Bane voice on this one, which means I got to cup the microphone, which means the way that this microphone on this arm has been acting all week, I might knock the microphone off here, but I'll do it for the sake of the integrity of the Bane impression. If you are among the initiated and have been to the House of Prime Rib several times, you should get your prime rib seared the next time you're there. If you're new at it, got to go au natural. Oh, that's seared prime rib? Oh, that's next level right there. That's, you got to be local to know what's that, what that's all about.
Good local suggestion after a couple of days of just picking and hunting around and relying on Yelp reviews and things of that nature. Yeah, you couldn't have been more spot on with that. It was everything I thought it would be and a little bit more. I was counting on the red leather semicircular booths. I was counting on the older decor. Place was packed. Cocktails. Felt old school. Felt like we got into a time machine. It was great.
Good times. It's the height of cuisine in 1974.
Yeah.
It really is, and the place hasn't changed a lick. Tonight, it might be Madison Bumgarner's final start in a Giants home uniform. It might not be, but it could be. Based on that, I want to go to the ballpark and just enjoy him pitching tonight, and I don't want to think about trade value. I don't want to think about what he represents going forward. I'd rather almost think about leading up to this game, what he's meant to this city, to this franchise. It's a special, special player on some real special teams in this market. And if it is over tonight, I want that sexy moment where it's him getting the ball to Boach, walking off that mound, doffing the cap to the fans after a stellar start. I would like that one last time if we can. By the way, we're going to switch gears to a little football, because our next guest is here and ready to go, and talking football with him is fantastic.
Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.